Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhari, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Pei Zayin, the opening daf in the 8th parak, the Isha. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening mission in the 8th parak states that a woman in her husband's house eats of her husband's Pesach, even if her father also shechted one for her. Halcha Rego Rishon Lasos Bebeis Avia. If a woman went to spend the first Yantav in her father's house, Shachad Aleh Avia V'Shachad Aleh Bala, and her father shechted a Pesach for her, and her husband also shechted a Pesach for her, Tocha B'Makom Shirotza. She eats where she wants. Now, after the Gemara clarifies that her choice was made at the time of Shechita, and was not a case of Brera, the Gemara brings up Braisa that contradicts the Mishnah, which states, Isha Rego HaRishon Ocheles Meshel Avia. A woman on the first Yantav after a wedding eats of her father's Pesach, but Kan Ve'elach Rotza Ocheles Meshel Avia, Rotza Ocheles Meshel Bala. From here on, if she wants, she can eat from her father's Pesach, or if she wants, she can eat from her husband's Pesach. And our Mishnah ruled, on the first Yantav she eats of her father's offering, and subsequently from her husband's. So the Gemara answers, the Brice is referring to a woman who's eager to go back to her father's home, whereas our Mishnah is referring to a woman who is not eager to go back to her father's house. Point number two, the Gemara presents the lengthy exchange between Akash Baruch and Hoshea, the greatest Navi of his era. When Akash Baruch expressed to Hoshea that his people were sinning, Hoshea responded, Heviram bu'uma acheres, exchange them for a different nation. Akash Baruch demonstrated to Hoshea how faulty that response was by commanding Hoshea to marry a Zona, have children with her, and then he told them to divorce her, which Hoshea found difficult to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yisrael Shem Banai, B'nei Buchunai, B'nei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yisrael, who are my children, the children of my tested ones, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Echam Marba'a Kinyanim Shekanisi Be'olami, and who constitute one of the four acquisitions I've made in the world, all the more so it would be difficult to separate from them. The Gemara then goes on to identify the four acquisitions, the Torah, Shemaim Ba'aretz, the base of Mikdash, and Yisrael. And point number three, the Gemara continues discussing the various aspects of Gullus. Rabbi Lazar said, "Well, Higlu Akash Baruch Hu as Yisrael Rabbeinu Lumos El Kadeshi Tosvel Em Gerim." Akash Baruch Hu exiled Yisrael among the nations of the world only in order that converts will be added to them. Rabbi Yoshia said Akash Baruch Hu did a tzedakah in that he scattered the Jews among the nations, ensuring that they could not all be wiped out at the same time. Among the different reasons why Babel was chosen was that their language is similar to that of the Torah, and because Akash Baruch Hu sent them back to their mother's house, referring to Ur Kasdim, Rav Aminu's Amunah was realized, and also that they would be able to eat dates which are abundant in Bava and will subsequently be able to occupy themselves in Limud Torah. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The opening mission of the 8th parak states that a woman in her husband's house eats of her husband's Pesach, even her father also shechted one for her. If a woman went to spend the first Yantav in her father's house, then if her father shechted a Pesach for her and her husband also shechted a Pesach for her, she eats where she wants. Now, after the Gemara clarifies that her choice was made at the time of Shechita, and was not a case of Brera, the Gemara brings up Raisa contradicts Mishnah, which states, Isha Rego HaRishon Ocheles Meshel Avia, a woman on the first Yantav after a wedding eats of her father's Pesach, Mekan Ve'elch, Rotza Ocheles Meshel Avia, Rotza Ocheles Meshel Bala. From here on, if she wants, she can eat from her father's Pesach, or if she wants, she can eat from her husband's Pesach. And our Mishnah ruled on the first Yantav she eats of her father's offering, and subsequently from her husband's. So the Gemara answers, Kamba Radufa Leilach Kamba She'en Radufa. The Brice is referring to a woman who is eager to go back to her father's home, whereas our Mishnah was referring to a woman who was not eager to go back to her father's house. Point number two, the Gemara presents the lengthy exchange between Akash Baruch Hu and Hoshea, the greatest Navi of his era. When Akash Baruch Hu expressed to Hoshea that his people were sinning, Hoshea responded, Heviram Bu'uma Acheres, exchange them for a different nation. So Kodesh Baruch Hu demonstrated to Hoshea how faulty that response was by commanding Hoshea to marry a Zona, have children with her, and later to divorce her, which Hoshea found difficult to do. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yisrael Shem Banai, B'nei Buchunai, B'nei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yisrael were my children, the children of my tested ones, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Echad Marabah Akinyanim Shekanis Bo'omi, and who constitute one of the four acquisitions I have made in the world, all the more so it will be difficult to separate from them. And the Gemara then goes on to identify the four acquisitions, the Torah, Shemaim Ba'aretz, the base of Mikdash, and Yisrael. And point number three, the Gemara continues discussing the various aspects of Galus. Rabbi Lazar said, "Lohigo Akash Baruch Hu as Yisrael Rabbeinu Umos El Kadesh Shitosvu Alehem Gerim." Akash Baruch Hu exiled Yisrael among the nations only in order that Gerim converts will be added to them. Rabbi Hoshea said, "Akash Baruch Hu did tzedakah in that he scattered the Yidden among the nations, ensuring that they could not all be wiped out at the same time." Among the reasons why Babel was chosen was that their language is similar to that of the Torah. And because Akash Baruch Hu sent them back to their mother's house, referring to Ur Kasdim, where Avram Avinu's Amunah was realized, and also that they were able to eat dates, which are abundant in Bavel, and will subsequently be able to occupy themselves in Limud Torah. All right, so now we go to our Simfer da Pezine, and our standard simon is Paz Gold, and we use a gold digger. So here goes. The gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her, which would be worse than Gullus in Bavel. Once again in slow motion. The gold digger, that must be Ron Duff Pezine. The gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, which reminds us there was a steer between the Mishnah and the Brisa regarding where a woman goes to eat the Pesach on her first Yantiv after the wedding and subsequently, and the Gemara clarifies that when the Mishnah said if a woman went to spend the first Yantiv in her father's house, and her father shechted a Pesach for her, and her husband also shechted a Pesach for her, Tolchu b'makom she rotza, she eats where she wants, that was a case where the woman was not a Radufa, not eager to go back to her father's house. The Brisa that stated a woman on the first Yantiv after a wedding eats of her father's Pesach is referring to a woman who is a Radufa, eager to go back to her father's home. So the gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her. Which reminds us that as part of the exchange that Kosh Baruch had with Hoshea when Kol Yisrael was sinning, and Hoshea said to Kosh Baruch that he should exchange us with a different nation, that Kosh Baruch had Hoshea marry Azona, have children with her, and then told him to divorce her. When Hoshea said that was very difficult to do, Kosh Baruch said all the more so where Yisrael are one of his four kinyanim, which include Torah, Shemaim Va'aretz, and the Beis HaMikdash. So the gold digger whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her, which would be worse than Gaulis and Bavel. Which reminds us that the Rebbe Lezer said the reason for Gaulis is to gather Gerim. Rabbi Yoshia said Kosh Baruch did it stuck and that he spread us out in Gaulis so that we couldn't be wiped out as one, and then discussed the different reasons we went down to Bavel, and that the language is similar to that of the Torah, and because the Kosh Baruch sent them back to their mother's house, referring to Ur Kasdim, where Avram Avinu's Amunah was realized, and also that they would be able to eat dates, which were abundant in Bavel, and will subsequently be able to occupy themselves in Limud Torah. So once again, the gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her, which would be worse than Gullus in Bavel. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Pei Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champion, jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood, wowed the spectators at the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Once again in slow motion. The reigning pogo stick champion, that must be Warren Duff, Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champion, jumping over burning bones filled with nosar, which reminds the next Mishnah states that the bone, sinews, and leftover flesh of the Pesach must be burned on the 16th of Nisan. Rav Mari Bar Avoh said in the name of Yitzchak, bones of any kachin that served as a carry of nosar are metam in the hands of the Rabbanon like nosar itself, since they served as a basis for a davar aser. The Gemara seeks to support Rabbi Yitzchak's statement from the Mishnah, but rejects the proof, saying, Shimush nosar lav milsi. Serving nosar as a basis is not a factor, and the ton of our Mishnah holds that when the Torah stated of etzim latish bo, you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, the term in it means bakasher v'afil b'pasel, a kasher pesach, and even a pasel pesach. Since it's forbidden to break open the bones even after the pesach becomes nosar, they must always be burned because of the marrow in them. However, the bones themselves do not inherently require burning. So the reigning pogo stick champion, jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood, which reminds Rav Yudah said the name of Rav called Gidim Basar Chutz Migidei Tzavar. All sinews are considered flesh except for the sinews of the neck. Rashi explains that the sinews are considered meat, and therefore when people register for the Pesach, and there must be a kazayas of flesh for each person to eat, the sinews may be counted as flesh. The neck sinew is very hard, and is considered like wood rather than the flesh. The Gemara attempts to challenge Rav's ruling from a Mishnah and brings a number of resolutions. So the reigning pogo stick champion, jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood, wowed the spectators at the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, then the bones, sinews, and nosar are burned on the 17th, because the mitzvahs to burn them are not dochah Shabbos or yantiv. The Gemara asks, why the burning doesn't override yantiv? Let the asiyah to burn nosar come and be dochah the losas, if not din melachah yantiv. So Chizkiyah said, the pasuk states, lo sishir mimenu ad boker, but nosar mimenu ad boker, but eish tisrufu. You shall not leave any of it until morning, any of it that's left until morning you shall burn in fire. So why was it necessary to state ad boker a second time? Weitim lo boker shen l'sreifa so, to give the Pesach a second morning for its burning, which refers to the first morning of Chol HaMoed. Abai and Rabbi brought two additional sources, and Rav Ashi said, Shabbason de Yom Tov Asehu. The Pesach regarding rest on Yantiv is an Aseh, Vein Aseh Doche Los Aseh Vaseh. And a single Aseh, such as the mitzvah of burning Noser, does not override the combination of an Aseh and Los Aseh. Daf Pei Dalet, so the Simfer Pei Dalet is a spaceship on a launch pad. So here goes. The spaceship on the launch pad, about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tower of Pesach. while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Hyde Malkus for breaking its bone. So once again, slow motion. This spaceship on the launch pad, spaceship on a launch pad, that must be Rom Duff Paydalid. This spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, which reminds us that Rabba contrasts the two parts of the next mission discussing which parts of the pets are considered edible and fit to be counted as portions. The first part stated that anything that's edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid. This implies that parts which are inedible in a grown ox are not fit to be eaten in a tender kid, but the latter part of the mission continues, including the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage. But these are inedible in a grown ox. So Rabba concluded that some alchokas tonight that the latter part was a yesh omrim who holds that the ends of the shoulder blades and of the cartilage are deemed fit to be eaten in a kid, since in a grown ox they can be made edible through extended cooking. Rava said that the Mishnah is writing in the form of a mahin katani, or what are they? And this is what it means to teach, kol necha b'shoa gado b'shlaka yeocha b'gdiharach b'tzli. Anything that is edible in a grown ox through extended cooking is considered fit to be eaten in a tender kid through roasting. What are these parts? Rashi confined by Chsusim. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved. He didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tahor Pesach, which reminds us it was taught in a brice regarding why one doesn't receive Malkus for leaving over a part of the Tahor Pesach. It says in the Pasuk, you shall not leave any of it over until morning, and any of it that's left over until morning shall be burned in the fire. So, the Pasuk comes to give an ase to burn the leftover after it says the los ase against leaving over to teach so one doesn't get malchus. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says that that's not the reason, but rather, it's because the prohibition of leaving over does not involve an action, and therefore one doesn't get malchus for that. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tahor Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chai Malkus for breaking its bone. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brice that the Pasuk states, Ve'etzmo tishru bo, and you shall not break a bone in it, bo, bekashvelo, bepasel. The phrase in it implies in a valid Pesach, but not in an invalid one. But Rebbe says, Bebayis echod yechel, Ve'etzmo tishru bo, in one house it shall be eaten, and the pasuk continues, and you shall not break a bone in it. The juxtaposition of these two mitzvahs is coming to teach, whatever is fit for eating is subject to the prohibition against breaking a bone, and whatever is not fit for eating is not subject to the prohibition. Now, since only a valid offering may be eaten, Rebbe's teaching seems to be that of the Tanakamas. So the Gemara brings eight amors that explain the difference, and then concludes with a brice that conforms to four of them. Daf Pehe, so the Simfer Hei is a mouth, we use a dentist. So here goes. The Chabura, a proud dentist. Dentist, that must mean run Daf Pehe, Peh, mouth. The Chabura, a proud dentist, whose hands were always taller as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, which reminds us, was taught in the Mishnah, Pigel Venoser Metamnis Yadayim. Pigel Venoser are Metami the hands that touch, which Rashi explains in the Rabbanan. Pigel Mishum Chajde Kohuna. Pigel because of suspect Kohanim who wanted to cause a monetary loss to those they didn't like. The Rabban therefore decreed two on their hands to be betrayed of the Kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. And Nosim Mishum Atzrei Kohuna, because of lazy Kohanim. Rashi explains that the decree would spur lazy Kohanim to eat the meat, who might otherwise have let it become Nosar. The question was asked whether the same decree was enacted for people taking the Pesach beyond its boundary, and the Gemara concludes that there was no need b'nei Chabura's reasoning hen. The members of the group that offer the Pesach are zealous, and they're careful with the meat not to take it out of its boundary. So the Chabura, proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take the Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a Chabura of orthodontist carry a carcass out in poles and place it down, which reminds us, Rabbi Ami said, Hamotzi batsu Pesach mechabura, Chabura eino chayv ad shi'aniach. If one removes meat of the Pesach from the location one group to another of another group, he's not chayv unless he places it down in a new location. Hotzak sibe k'shabbos. The expression of removing is written concerning the meat, like it's written concerning Shabbos. Just like Shabbos, one's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanach. So to hear a person's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanach. Rabbi Amar Bar Amar challenged him for Mishnah and Zvachim regarding carrying the carcasses of the inner chatas offerings out on poles beyond the walls of the Azara, where those in the front are metamei their garments as soon as they emerge from the Azara, even though the offering has not yet come to rest on the ground. So Rabbi Amar Bar Amar resolved his own question, saying it was benigrarim. The Mishnah is dealing with the case where the carcasses are dragging on the ground. Tosa says it was lav dafka that they're dragging, rather the limbs hang down to within three tefachim of the ground and are deemed resting on the ground based on the principle of lavud. So the Chabura, proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a Chabura of orthodontist carrying a carcass out on poles and place it down outside the door jamb next to a metal barrier where a minion dove it. Which reminds us, the next mission defines the boundary for the prohibition of taking the Pesach Chutzai Mina Agav Lifnim Kol Lifnim, from the door jamb inward as it judges inside, Mina Agav L'chutz Kol Chutz, and from the door jamb outward is considered outside. But you just said the name of Rav, the Ken L'Tfilah, the same Allah applies regarding Tfilah. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who said, Afil Mechitzu Shal Barza Inim Avsechus Ben Yisrael L'Avihim Shav Shamayim, even metal barrier does not separate between the Jews and their Father in Heaven. Rashi explains that there's no such thing as a barrier before Kodesh Baruch Hu, since everything's revealed to him, therefore the door jamb is not affected, and they're viewed as one group. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simmer Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The police, police. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guessing challah on consecrated roofs, which reminds on the bottom of Pei Hei on the base, Rav said, Gagim Valios Lenis Kachu. The rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Azor were not consecrated. The implication is that Kachim calling such as the Pesach cannot be eaten there. The Gemara questions this ruling. As Rav himself said in the name of Vichia, Kazesa Pischa Vahalela Paka Ikra, a kazais for each registrant, and the sound of the hollow would crack the roof. Rashi explains that the singing was so loud that it would seem as though the roofs of Yerushalayim were cracking. This implies they used to recite hollow on the rooftops and suggests they ate the Pesach on the rooftops as well. The Gemara answers that they ate the Pesach on the ground and then recited hollow on the roofs, and further clarifies that hollow was recited after the meal concluded. Rashi explains that there was no longer concern that people would carry some meat with them. So the police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discover joyous guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs. While they notice down below two groups eating a single Pesach, which reminds the next Mishnah states, Shtei chabur she'ochim b'bayis echav. If two groups are eating a single Pesach in one house, which Rashi explains to mean they all registered for the offering, but when the time came to eat it, they chose to eat it in separate groups, and each group may turn their faces in different directions and eat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Pesach may be eaten in two groups, but each person may only eat it in one place. Rabbi Shimon holds each person can eat in different places, but when they initially sit down, they must do so as one group. The Machlokas is based on whether one holds Yesh Eim L'Masoras, primacy is given to the way the words are written in the Pasuk, or Yesh Eim L'Mikra, primacy is given to the way the words are pronounced. So the police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs, while they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach and frowning at one of their guests lying on a couch and drinking his wine in two gulps. Which reminds the Gemara relates when Rav Huna Brei Menasim visited the home of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the hosts were shocked by his behavior. When they offered him to sit on a couch, he seated himself. Rashi explains that they expected he would graciously decline and sit on the floor or chair as per the regular custom. They gave him a cup to drink, and he accepted it with the first offering. He drank it in two gulps, and he didn't avert his face while drinking. When they asked him about his behavior, he explained regarding sitting on the couch, whatever the host tells you to do, do. He accepted the cup on first offer because Masarvin Lakatan Ve'im Masarvin Lagadol, one may refuse a lesser man, but we may not refuse a great man who drank in two drafts, because it states in a brisa that drinking in one draft is guzzling, drinking in two drafts is proper conduct, and drinking in three is haughty. And he didn't avert his face because the Mishnah states that a kala averts her face, which implies that it's not appropriate for a man to do so. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which Duffy Malchok is why one who leaves over a Tar Pesach does not get Malchus, whereas Rav Yehuda says it's a love Anita Glaase, and Rav Yaakov says it's a love Shein Bo Maisa. That's on Duff. Paid all. Good. Number 2. Which Duffy when the one has to do an Akira and Hanach to be Chai for taking the Pesach out, just like Chotzah of Shabbos? That's on Duff. Pei Hei. Good. Number 3. Which Duffy learned different reasons why we went down to Bavel for Galus? That's on Duff. Pei Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which Duffy learned that the type of concealment that qualifies for tumas at home is when the mace is found under straw, earth, or pebbles? That's on Duff. Pei Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which Duffy learned that the din that meat is taken out of its boundaries burned is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that all psalim of Kodesh are burned? That's on Duff. Pei Beis. Good. Number 6. Which Duffy learned that no gezerah being metame the hands was needed for B'nei Chabura regarding taking the Pesach outside, since they are zrizim and careful not to do it? That's on Duff. Hey, hey, good. Number 7. Which Daf Tzvi Malchus Rav Yehuda Rabbi Shimon regarding how exactly two groups partake of a single Pesach? That's on Daf. Pei Vav. Good. Number 8. Which Daf Tzvi learned why Hoshea was told the Kal Yisrael are one of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's 4 Kinyanim? That's on Daf. Pei Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which Daf Tzvi learned how Rav Huna Brei Rav Nasan explained his behavior to his hosts regarding reclining on the couch and drinking the cup of wine? That's on Daf. Hey, Vav. Good. And number 10. Which Daffy Malchok is whether a woman who went to her father's house for the first of regal after marriage eats from her father's Pesach, or she can choose between her father and her husband? That's on Duff. Pei Zayin. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which Daffy learned about the importance of speaking gently to the family Erev Shabbos? That's on Duff. Amidah and Shav is good. Number two, which daf do you learn what one should do if the lechi is four amos wide? That's on daf. Hey, Nerevan, good. And number three, which daf do you learn why Nisim occurred for earlier generations? That's on daf. Chaf and Brach is excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldenzichu wishing you a great day and great learning.